Today, we are continuing our series called It's Personal. It's Personal. In the last several weeks, we have been talking about what it means to have a personal relationship with God. And the reason that we're talking about it being a personal relationship with God is because that's really what it should be. It should be a close and intimate and personal relationship with God. And yet, for many of us, if we're real honest, it isn't real personal. Well, today you picked a great day to be here because we're going to talk about why that is. Why is it that when it comes to our relationship with God, it isn't real close and it isn't real personal? And this is going to explain why many of you feel the way that you feel when it comes to your relationship with God. This is going to explain why some of you want to feel close to God, and yet you just feel disconnected from Him. You don't really feel close to Him. This is why, for many of you, it's going to explain why you want to have a close personal relationship with God, and yet for some reason, you keep Him a little bit at arm's length because you're not too sure what He wants to say to you or what He wants to do to you. For others of you, this is going to explain why some of you have been Christians for years and years and years, and yet, if you're honest, you're not real close to God. I mean, come on, you've been coming to church for years, you have heard hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sermons, all you have done is a bunch of religious stuff that they told you to do, and if you're honest, there's still no real sense of closeness, there's still no sense of peace, is there? And yet you keep coming to the religious events, and you keep trying to keep the rules, and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and yet there is something on the inside that feels like there's got to be something more. There's got to be something better. There's got to be something else. And so there's a distance, and there's a distance between you and God, and it's not real personal. And here's why. And this is going to sound very, very strange. Religion won't bring you to God. Religion doesn't make God close. Religion will not make your relationship with God close and personal. If you think that if I just go through the religious motions and I keep showing up at the events and I keep all of the religious rules and all doing all of this kind of religious stuff, that doesn't bring you close to God. And as I prepared this week and thought about you and prayed for you, I have prayed that this morning God would give you this aha moment and help you to understand what you experience every single day as you think about your relationship with God and why it isn't personal. And you want to be close to Him, and He wants to be close to you, and yet there's distance between you and God. I can remember when I first became a Christian, I was 12 years old, and I didn't know any better. Nobody ever taught me about how to read the Scripture and pray and those kind of things. But I remember being so busy doing church things and never connecting with God. And I grew up Southern Baptist. And if you grew up Southern Baptist, do you know how we connected with God? We rededicated our life. And so we would come to the church service and we would hear what God says and we would rededicate with Him because we wanted to reconnect with Him. And it really wasn't about God. You know what it was about? It was about sin management. Because when I felt disconnected from God, I just wanted to go to the altar and rededicate. Because God, the last one didn't take, but this time I promise I'm going to do it. I'm going to start doing this. I'm going to stop doing that. And I know it didn't work the first time, but I'm serious this time, God. And I promise, and I promise, and I promise, and I'd throw my stick in the fire, and I'd just rededicate my life. And I would rededicate, commit, and sin. Rededicate, commit, and sin. I know you've never been through that. But that's what I thought God wanted. That God wasn't too interested in a personal relationship with me. That really what God wanted was sin management. To make sure I managed my sin and so I would commit and rededicate. And try harder and commit and rededicate and try harder. And I had no idea until later on when someone told me, you know what God's really interested in the most is just being with you. That God just wants a relationship with you that's close, that's personal. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, that is the very first book of the Bible. It's at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2. This is the familiar story of Adam and Eve. And in this story, we see why there's a disconnect between us and God. In this story, it explains to us why there's this sense of separation between us. Now, here's the thing. When God created Adam and Eve, and they were real people, I think, that lived in history. When God created Adam and Eve, and He created us, here's how He created us. He created us for relationship and in relationship. That's how God created us. He created us for relationship, and He created us in relationship. In other words, He didn't create us outside and then bring us into a relationship. When Adam and Eve had a relationship with God, there was perfect intimacy, there was closeness, they were known, they were fully known, there was no shame, there was no embarrassment, there was no sense of or fear of rejection. God knew them, they knew God, and it was close and it was personal. And then look at what God says to them in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. The Lord God places man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord warned them, "You may freely eat from the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Now, think about this. And I think this tells us so much about God. Do you know why in the perfect environment He only gave them one rule? Because God's not into rules. He's into relationships. God, deep in the desire of His heart, He wants a relationship. He only gave them one rule because He doesn't want a bunch of rule keepers and rule followers. He doesn't want a bunch of church people and religious people. He wants a relationship that's close and it's personal with mankind. That's the kind of relationship that they had. And don't miss this. In the very beginning, when it was God and Adam and Eve and they were in the garden, it was pure relationship. It wasn't about attending a religious event. They didn't have any. It wasn't about keeping a bunch of rules. There was only one rule. God wasn't interested in a bunch of rule keepers. He was interested in a relationship. And the moment that happened, that they opened and they experienced that personal relationship with God, it was pure relationship that was close and it was personal. But something happened. Something happened that messed that whole thing up. Look down at chapter 3. And I don't know how all of this happened, but apparently the serpent, who was the shrewdest of all of the wild animals the Lord God had made, one day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" "Well, of course we may eat from the fruit in the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat it," God said. "You must not eat it or even touch it." She added that part. God never said you couldn't touch it. But God said we couldn't eat it, much less touch it. "If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And again, I'm not sure how all this happened, but apparently the serpent is talking and he finds the woman and he talks to her, and you know what he begins to do? He begins to put a little seed of doubt in her mind about God. And he began to talk to her and made her question whether or not God can be trusted. Verse 6. The woman was convinced. The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. They didn't take the fruit because it looked appetizing. They took the fruit because they wanted to be like God. This was an act of rebellion. This was an act of rebellion. They no longer wanted to be with God. They wanted to be God. And in that moment that they took the fruit and disobeyed what God had said, in that moment, they lost their closeness with God. They walked away from God. God didn't walk away from them. They walked away from Him. And when they did, look at verse 7, when they did,
At that moment, their eyes were opened. Do you know what the lie was that separated man from God? Here was the lie. God can't be trusted. And if you go with God, you're going to miss out on some good things. That was the lie. That God can't be trusted. That God can't be trusted, and if you continue to stick with God, if you pursue a relationship with God, the lie was that you're going to miss out on some good things. That God's got a secret. That He's holding something behind His back. And if you pursue a relationship with God, and you come to the place where you say, God, here is my life. If you do that, you're going to miss out on good things. In other words, the serpent said to Eve, Eve, there's something out there that you don't know about. There's something out there that God hasn't told you about. And as long as you stay with God, you'll never experience it. You look back on your life, the serpent would say. You look back on your life and say, why in the world did I stick with this thing with God, this relationship with Him? Look at all I've missed out on. And you will look back and you will have regret. But if you stay with God, you will miss out. Every single day of your life and my life, we are told that exact same lie. And we are tempted to believe it. Teenagers, you don't need to keep yourself for marriage. If you do, you're going to miss out. Hey, business owners, you don't need to run your business the way God says. If you do, you're going to miss out. Hey, you don't need to handle money the way God says handle money. If you do that, you're never going to get ahead financially. Hey, if you do your marriage the way that God says, you're going to miss out. If you stick with God, you are going to miss out. That's a big lie. And every single day of our lives, we are offered that same lie that Adam and Eve were offered. God can't be trusted. And if you stick with God and you obey God and you go with God, you'll miss out. In other words, there's something better out there. And it's a big lie. And Adam and Eve decided that God was hiding something from them. They decided that God couldn't be trusted anymore. And they didn't want a relationship with Him anymore. You know what I find in my life? That every time that I'm struggling, every time God comes to me and He says, this is what I want you to do, this is what I want you to give up, I want you to do this, stop this, change that, every single time, you know what it comes down to? It comes down to, God, I don't really trust you. God, I'm afraid that if I do that, I will miss out on something good. And every single time in your life and in my life, what it comes down to is God cannot be trusted. You really don't trust God. And you know what? You don't get close to people you don't trust, do you? If Meredith didn't trust me, we would never be close. If I didn't trust her, if I couldn't trust her and couldn't be open and honest and transparent, if I couldn't tell her things, you know what I would do? Because I didn't trust her, I would keep secrets. And you know what she would do if she couldn't trust me? She would keep secrets, because you don't get close to people that you don't trust. And every single day in your life and my life, we can come to God and we say, God, I'm not sure I can trust you with my marriage. I'm not sure I can trust you with my job. Here's my money. Here's my kids. I can trust you with my salvation and all of that. But when it comes to these practical things, you have fallen for the lie that Adam and Eve fell for. You know what? You will never experience closeness with God if you cannot trust Him. So you know what happened? Adam and Eve fell for it. She bought the lie. She ate the fruit. She gave it to Adam. He ate the fruit. And in that moment, do you know what they discovered? They discovered that what the serpent had said about God keeping things from them, it was true. There were some things that they were missing out on. But they weren't missing out on anything that was good. Verse 7. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt, what's the word? Shame. Wait a minute, why did they feel shame? They felt shame because of their nakedness, or if you're from the South, nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. They realized God was keeping something from them. Do you know what He was keeping from them? Shame. They had never felt that before. that they had never experienced that before. They realized that they'd been missing out, me know God, they had been missing out on shame. They'd never had that feeling before. You know what shame is? Shame is suddenly when you're uncomfortable with yourself, that then you become uncomfortable with the people around you. Shame is that thing where there's something about you that makes you feel so bad about yourself that you keep yourself from other people because you're uncomfortable with them because of what you see or what you think about yourself. They had never known that feeling. Why? Because up until then, that whole environment in the garden was one of trust, where they were known and they were being known. Where there was trust and there was intimacy, there was no fear, there was no shame, there was no sense of rejection. Suddenly in this environment now and in their relationship with God, they're feeling shame. They're feeling guilt. They're moving away from each other rather than moving toward each other. Why? Because they had sinned. Sin does that. When they're no longer close to God, they are no longer having a personal relationship with Him. Story continues in verse 8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man said to his wife, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord among the trees. And then the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" Now, not only have they been experiencing shame and guilt, but now you know what they're experiencing? They're experiencing separation. They're experiencing isolation. They're disconnecting from one another, and now they're disconnecting and they're hiding from God. God's walking around the garden. He says, "Hey, where are you?" Understand, God never asks a question He doesn't know the answer to. It's not that He doesn't know where they are. He wants them to know where they are. They have walked away from Him and have separated themselves from Him. Verse 10, Adam replies, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." God, you've been holding out on us. You never told us there was this thing called fear. You didn't tell us that. This whole time we've been able to experience fear. You've been hiding that from us, mean old God. You know what they realized? They realized that when they broke away from God, they began to discover and experience some things that they had never known before. All of these things that God had been keeping from them because He loved them. Just like you do with your kids and your grandkids. You protect them. You keep them from things. That's what God was doing. He was keeping them from shame and fear and isolation and separation because He wanted to protect them. That is what God had been keeping them from. And yet the serpent came along and said, "He's keeping you from something. And if you stick with God, you're going to miss out on something good." Well, God was keeping things from them. He was keeping all of this stuff from them. All He wanted was a close and personal relationship with God. And then sin enters into the world and there's shame and there's guilt and there's separation and there's isolation. Not just from God, but from each other. Verse 11, "Who told you that you were naked?" The Lord God asked, "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" And the woman replied, "It was the woman you gave me. She gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Adam took his problems like a man and blamed it on his wife. And he said, "God, it was that woman that you gave me." And you know what he's really doing? He's really blaming God. And God, it's not just her fault, but it's your fault. Because if you hadn't given her to me, and if she wouldn't have given me the fruit, I wouldn't be in this mess. Adam was the very first person to do what you and I do all the time. That the reason I have trouble in my life is because of you, God. I am experiencing what I am experiencing because of you, God. And suddenly, God, who they used to spend time with, God, who was close and personal, suddenly He was someone that you hide from. Suddenly He was someone that you blame. Suddenly He was someone that you look at all of your problems and say, "God, It's your fault. God is ultimately responsible for everything, we would think. And never once does Adam and Eve, and never once in all of my time in ministry, has anyone ever come to me and said, you know, the problem in the world is me. It's me. I'm the problem with the world. You don't hear that. It's you. And it's her fault. And it's his fault. And it's their fault. And if they hadn't, and if they'd done, and if God, if you would, and it's always God's problem. Everybody blames God, and we have been suffering the fallout of that decision. And just like Adam and Eve, we all want to say, God, this is your fault. Let me tell you what sin does. Every single time, sin separates. That's what it does. Sin separates us from one another. Sin separates you from your husband, you from your wife. Sin separates us from God. There's a sense of separation. That's what God was keeping from them. He didn't want to be separated from them. The serpent was right. God was keeping something from them. Shame, guilt, fear, separation, that's what he was trying to protect them from, but they didn't trust him. Instead, they bought into this lie and they decided, we can't have a relationship with somebody that we don't trust. Adam and Eve introduced sin into the world. They introduced separation into the world. They march off on their own thinking that God can't be trusted. And do you know what God does next? It's the most amazing thing. He begins to put a plan in place to reconcile sinful man with himself. Look at what he does. Skip down to verse 21. The Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and for his wife. Do you know what had to happen for them to be covered with animal skins? Something had to die. Something had to be sacrificed. Blood had to be shed. It's a picture of what Jesus would one day do for you and for me and for all of mankind. And God begins this process of reconciling this broken relationship between man who turned and walked away from him and himself, and he didn't have to do that. And you know what the amazing thing is? And we miss this in this story. You know what God begins to do in this relationship with man? He introduces grace. He introduces grace. And grace is, I'm giving you something you don't deserve. Grace is, I am justified in not giving this to you. He introduces to them grace. And when you read the Old Testament and you continue to read through the New Testament, you see God going about putting this plan in place and executing this plan to take sinful man that had walked away from him and trying to reconnect and reestablish a relationship with mankind. And you see this grace upon grace upon grace. Why? Because that's who God is. He's a God of grace. And he hasn't changed his desire one bit to have a close and personal relationship with you and me. And just as their sin didn't put him off, your sin doesn't either. God says, I will never give up on you. I am relentless in my desire to connect and reconnect with you. One day he sends Jesus into this world, and Jesus says, let me tell you what God is like. God is like a shepherd who lost one of his sheep. And now he's got 99, but there's one that's missing. And he is relentless in trying to find that lost sheep. That's what God's like. God's like a woman who lost this coin. And for us, we think about quarters and nickels. No. This was a big coin that they wore on a headdress. It was sort of a dowry kind of thing. It was a very expensive thing. And she had lost it. And God said, God is just like this woman who loses a coin. And she cleans out her whole house. She sweeps everything out. She is relentless until she finds that lost coin. That's what God is like. God is like a father who lost a son And it's not like he didn't know where he was. He knew exactly where he was. He lost him relationally. And he stood out on the drive every single day waiting for his son to come home so that he could reconnect with his lost son. That is what God is like. 3 years later, God makes the ultimate sacrifice. He sends his son Jesus, the one and only son that he has, who becomes the sacrifice for the sin of mankind. For your sin and for my sin, we deserve to die in our sin. But he gave Jesus to die in our place, who made the ultimate sacrifice. Listen, the thing that keeps you from God isn't sin. Sin has been taken care of. The thing that keeps you from God is your response to Jesus. He came, made the ultimate sacrifice. Why? So that God could connect, reconnect with lost man, so that we can experience a relationship with God. You know, it's interesting. When Adam and Eve sinned, they felt shame and guilt and isolation and separation. They had felt things that God never intended them to feel. You know what's interesting? When they sinned and they began to experience all of that, do you notice what they did in response to that? They hid. They heard God walking through the garden and he's calling out to them, Adam, Eve, hey, where are you guys? Come out, wherever you are. Adam comes out. He says, I heard you, but I was afraid. And so I hid. I was ashamed, and so I hid. Fear and shame. Can I ask you a question? Are you hiding from God? Maybe this morning you're hiding from God because of shame. I mean, you look back on your life and there is something you said. Maybe there is something you did and somewhere in your past and you're thinking, there is no way that God would want a relationship with me. I am such a bad person. And you feel shame and you are hiding from God because of what you feel. And you're not sure what he would say to you. Maybe others of you, you're hiding from God because of your guilt. There's something you said, there's something you did, and in your mind you're thinking, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I cannot believe I was so stupid to do that. And you are hiding from God because your guilt is so heavy, it's keeping you from God, and you're afraid to go back to him because you're afraid of what he might say to you. Maybe you're avoiding God because of sin. Maybe some sinful lifestyle. And because of that sin, you just sort of keep God at arm's length, close enough where if he needs, you know, you need him, you can talk to him. But you're afraid of turning in his direction. You're afraid of coming out of hiding because you're not sure what he would say to you. Maybe you're just mad at God. Maybe you've been avoiding God and you've been hiding because you're just mad at him. I mean, he didn't do what you wanted him to do. Something didn't work out. It didn't work out the way you wanted it, or you lost something, or you were hurt, and you're mad at him. And you've never brought your anger to God and said, God, I've been hiding behind my anger because I'm mad at you. God, you could have done something. If you're God, you could have done something about this, and you didn't. And you're mad at him. And you are hiding from him, and you are hiding behind your anger. Maybe you're hiding from God because you've been hurt by other Christians. Maybe you've had a bad church experience. And it wasn't right how they treated you, and you've been avoiding God because of how they treated you. If for any reason you are hiding from God, you have to quit. You have to come out. Why? Because you're missing God. You're missing that closeness, that personal thing, that sense of intimacy with him. And you need to figure out What it is that is keeping you from experiencing that close relationship with you. And I'm telling you, He is going to keep coming after you. And He's going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, not to punish you, but to connect with you. And He loved you too much to allow your shame and your guilt and your sin and your anger and whatever that is to keep you from coming for you. He will never give up in pursuing a relationship with you because He loves you way too much. Do you know what I would think God would say to you if you're hiding from Him? I think the only thing He would say to you is, come on, let's talk about it. Come on, let's talk about it. I think He would say to you, I know you feel shame, and I know you feel like I would never accept you, but I do. Come on, let's talk about it. I know you feel guilty and you've been carrying that weight, but hey, I forgive you. Come on, let's talk about it. I know you've been avoiding me because of sin and you're afraid of what I might say or what I might do. Let's talk about it. I know you've had a bad church experience. Let's talk about it. Listen, don't avoid me, God would say, because some Christians messed you up sometime. Don't avoid me because you had a bad church experience. I mean, come and tell me your sad story, and then I want to share with you the story of my son, because you talk about dealing with religious people. He's got some scars to prove it. He knows what it's like to deal with religious people. So don't keep away from me because you had a bad church experience a long time ago. Whatever it is that you're hiding from God, I think He's saying to you this morning, come on, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. I love you. I want us to be close. Just try me. And whatever's going on in your life, it's okay. We'll talk about it. Yeah, but what about, we'll get to that. Don't worry about it, God says. Just come and let's talk about it. Let's talk about your life. Let's talk about sin. Let's talk about the hurt. Let's talk about how you're feeling. Tell me everything, not because I don't know, but because now we're talking. Now we're talking. And God says, just come and just let's talk about it. Use whatever language you want to use. You can yell at me. You can raise your voice to me. But there's no need to hide from me because I love you. If you're hiding from God, would you do yourself a favor? And in some ways, do Him a favor? And quit? And just come out? Would you do yourself a favor and just get along with God sometime today or sometime this week and say, God, I have been hiding. Now, God, I'm not promising anything big, but we just need to talk. And God, I'm mad. And just let Him know. And yeah, God, I really don't trust you. And just let Him know. And yeah, God, I've been going through the religious motions. And I'm at church every Sunday. But yeah, it just doesn't seem real close. And I want to be close. Would you do that? And then would you do everything you know to do? And I'm not specific because I don't really think there are specifics. It's not like three steps and do this, but you know, it's a relationship. But here's what I'm asking. Would you just do the next relational thing and do everything in your power to connect with God and maybe, just maybe, experience a closeness with Him that you have never experienced? Because if you do, promise, you won't experience rejection. And if you do, and you're willing to come out from hiding and take a step in His direction, you will find a loving God who is like a father who desires to reconnect with you as his long-lost son, as his long-lost daughter, as his long-lost child. He loves you. He accepts you. He cares for you. And he just wants to be close to you. Would you please stand and bow your head and close your eyes? With your eyes closed and with your head bowed for just a moment. Are you hiding from God? Is there something that's keeping you from connecting with Him? For just this moment, would you just begin a conversation with Him? Knowing that He's here. And His arms are open. And He loves you and He desires to receive you just as you are. Would you just begin that conversation with Him and say, God, I just want to come out and I want to stop hiding and I just want to connect with you. And I'm not making any big promises. I just want to be close. Eyes closed and with your head bowed. If you're here today and you want to talk to somebody, maybe you've got something going on in your life and you feel like it's keeping you from God and you just need to talk to somebody about that, immediately after this service, I want to invite you to meet me in the Connection Center. And I'll pray with you. We have folks there that will pray with you. We'll talk with you. We'll encourage you. But please don't leave until you feel a sense of connection with God. And maybe for you, for the very first time, you recognize that God sent His Son Jesus because He loved you and He wanted a relationship with you. And the way to have that relationship is only through His Son. If you'd like to know more about that, would you meet me in the Connection Center? Do whatever it is that you need to do today and this week to take a step in His direction and connect with Him. And Father, it is an amazing, amazing thought to think that you want to be with us, that you desire a close, a personal relationship with us. That's not about attending religious events and not about keeping a bunch of rules. It's all about relationship. And God, I know that we are a people that wants to connect with you, and maybe there's something we're struggling with, we're dealing with, that's keeping us from that. Would you just help us today and in the days ahead to identify what that is and just come clean? Come out from hiding. And surrender ourselves to you and say, God, we trust you. We trust you. We want to be close to you. And I pray, God, that as we do that this week, that we would experience you in a way that maybe some of us never, ever have. A relationship with you that's close and personal and real and intimate. All because of your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray this morning. Amen. And amen.